He set down the receiver and came toward us, glistening slightly, to take our stiff straw hats. "Madame expects you in the salon," he cried, needlessly indicating the direction. In this heat, every extra gesture was an affront to the common store of life. The room, shadowed well with awnings, was dark and cool. Daisy and Jordan lay upon an enormous couch, like silver idols, weighing down their own white dresses against the singing breeze of the fans. "We can't move," they said together. Jordan's fingers, powdered white over their tan, rested for a moment in mine. "And Mr. Thomas Buchanan, the athlete?" I inquired. Simultaneously, I heard his voice, gruff, muffled, husky, at the hall telephone. Gatsby stood in the center of the crimson carpet and gazed around with fascinated eyes. Daisy watched him and laughed her sweet, exciting laugh. A tiny gust of powder rose from her bosom into the air. "The rumor is," whispered Jordan, "that that's Tom's girl on the telephone." We were silent. The voice in the hall rose high with annoyance. "Very well, then I won't sell you the car at all. I'm under no obligations to you at all. And as for your bothering me about it at lunchtime, I won't stand that at all." "Holding down the receiver," said Daisy cynically. "No, he's not," I assured her. "It's a bona fide deal. I happen to know about it." Tom flung open the door, blocked out its space for a moment with his thick body, and hurried into the room. "Mr. Gatsby," he put out his broad, flat hand with well-concealed dislike. "I'm glad to see you, sir. Nick?"
"Make us a cold drink," cried Daisy. As he left the room again, she got up and went over to Gatsby and pulled his face down, kissing him on the mouth. "You know I love you," she murmured.
"You forget there's a lady present," said Jordan. Daisy looked around doubtfully.
"You kiss Nick, too.
What a low, vulgar girl."
"I don't care," cried Daisy, and began to clog on the brick fireplace.
Then she remembered the heat and sat down guiltily on the couch, just as a freshly laundered nurse leading a little girl came into the room.
"Blessed, precious," she crooned, holding out her arms. "Come to your own mother that loves you."
The child, relinquished by the nurse, rushed across the room and rooted shyly into her mother's dress.
"The blessed, precious. Did mother get powder on your old yellowy hair? Stand up now and say howdy-do."
Gatsby and I, in turn, leaned down and took the small, reluctant hand. Afterward, he kept looking at the child with surprise. I don't think he had ever really believed in its existence before.
"I got dressed before luncheon," said the child, turning eagerly to Daisy. "That's because your mother wanted to show you off," her face bent into the single wrinkle of the small white neck. "You dream, you absolute little dream."
"Yes," admitted the child calmly.
"Aunt Jordan's got on a white dress, too." "How do you like mother's friends?" Daisy turned her round so that she faced Gatsby. "Do you think they're pretty? Where's Daddy?"
"She doesn't look like her father," explained Daisy. "She looks like me. She's got my hair and shape of the face." Daisy sat back upon the couch. The nurse took a step forward and held out her hand. "Come, Pammy."
"Goodbye, sweetheart."
With a reluctant backward glance, the well-disciplined child held to her nurse's hand and was pulled out the door, just as Tom came back, preceding four gin rickeys that clicked full of ice. Gatsby took up his drink.
"They certainly look cool," he said with visible tension.
We drank in long, greedy swallows.
"I read somewhere that the sun's getting hotter every year," said Tom genially. "It seems that pretty soon the earth's going to fall into the sun."